Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this episode of Everybody Talks, a podcast where we get people around the Vancouver area talking about their profession and different things. Today, we have special guest, Gold River, in the house. Gentlemen.
Hey, how's it going?
Thank you for coming on the show. Things are good. Please introduce yourselves, starting from the right.
I'm Casey McDougall, and main songwriter, although Raj is also in the band. He's not here today, but he writes songs too. But I guess I started the band with Raj, and...
Bob Lyle, percussionist, drummer extraordinaire.
And of course, my name is Buzz. I have Mike, second host here on the show.
Hello.
Having fun. And again, for anybody who is listening, we're actually live on YouTube. You can go to reaperproductions.ca. You can also go on Twitter at Everybody Talks P. That's right, Everybody Talks P, because podcast couldn't fit in there. So on this show, gentlemen, we're going to talk about tonight. You guys have a show coming up this evening at, I believe, at Joe's apartment. For those who are wanting to go to the show, it will be 919 Granville Street in Vancouver. Tell us a little bit about the show tonight.
Well, it's with Kevin from Red 9 Productions, sort of got us on the list. And we just finished recording. We got a bunch of songs in the hopper, but we finished two to have sort of a single release with the idea of maybe putting it on vinyl eventually. But today is the digital release of the single. Nice. So, yeah, it's at Joe's apartment with Dana and the Stone Travelers, and Nick G are also on the list. So, should be an awesome night.
Yeah, sounds good.
Now, obviously, the other day I got introduced to your guys' band, and I started listening to quite a few songs on Reverb Nation. And those who do want to listen to, I know that they can go to reverbnation.com/Gold River, but is there other ways they can listen to your music as well?
It's on SoundCloud too. And, I think you can also get to the SoundCloud link on our Facebook site. So you can find us on Facebook, and I think we're gold_river on SoundCloud. But yeah, there's more files on there, I think, than even Reverb Nation, because they limit your upload.
And yeah, absolutely. And one of the songs that actually, and I want to talk to you guys about is Poem in the Sky. I have been listening to that song nonstop. It's been on my iPhone the entire time. Tell me a little bit about that song.
That is a powerful song, actually. That song, actually, because I played in several bands in the 90s and always had a guitar and played music. And my father actually passed away. And then I started playing music again, like got back to it. And that song is actually about the day that, not the day, but it was around that time. But it was a day that I just sat in this park for a whole day and watched the clouds move across the sky until... eventually, the light sort of broke through.
That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. it's sort of like, whoa, let's start with something light.
that's the point of the show, though, right? We just talk about whatever we want to do. And hopefully everybody who's listening on YouTube right now, the sound quality is going good for you. If not, you could tweet us at Everybody Talks P and let us know if it is not. But there's nothing we can do. We're live. Now, the type of genre that you guys have, tell everybody about the genre of the type of music that you guys perform.
Well, it's always interesting because I'm like, I don't know, what do we sound like? I guess it's indie rock, you know, like we're sort of
or
like
alternative rock, alternative like somewhere rock. In between there.
But it's also like rock and roll too. Yeah, like a lot of it is just straight up, you know.
The roots are definitely rock and roll.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you hear it too as well. You guys have a really badass sound to actually to all the songs that you have. So tonight. Mm-hmm. What time do you guys perform tonight so that people know?
Well, we're going on at 8:30. Okay. And we have half an hour, so we're 8:30 to 9. So it's sort of a tight window. So I would get there at 8. Nick G's starting at 8, and he sounds like a good little singer-songwriter. So
cool.
So if you're not there by 8:30, you're obviously missing out. So obviously be there by 8. Doors are going to open at 7:30.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be one hell of a show.
Yeah, it'll be awesome.
Mike, I keep looking your way. Just a nodding factor.
I'm sorry, man. I can't really think of much right now. Don't forget, I'm also clouded by cold medication. So.
This is true. Tell us about how you guys started in music and what was the influence behind it.
Well, I mean, for me, my dad was a country singer. He's actually a rodeo cowboy and sort of did the rodeo circuit. And at rodeos, it's always at the end of the night, everyone goes to someone's trailer and somebody plays, gets out a guitar. And my dad was that guy who he played to, like, you know, probably thousands of people all through the States. And his brothers are both musical. He had a twin brother, and they had a band together. So I always, he had a 12-string Gibson, which is actually quite a beautiful piece.
Would they like change roles because they're twins?
Or no, no, they, no.
Twin magic.
They joked about that, but no, my Uncle Ben always played bass, so yeah.
That's pretty good.
Uh-huh. I was just thinking of like how hilarious it would be for like twin rodeo clowns, like, bro, like playing that, like,
totally.
That trick on the crowd in the audience and also maybe screwing around with the bull.
I'd buy in on that.
I'm sure they're out there.
What about yourself, Bob?
Me, music's been a part of my life for a long time, probably since I was like 10. You know, everyone, we came into an era of like video games and, you know, Nintendo, and I always was like kind of trying to find an organic way to like, you know, conduct my time, and I just found that music was a little more beneficial than like just, you know, constantly playing video games and stuff. And I just, yeah, that was kind of how I got into it. It was my video game.
That crazy generation we had,
did,
right?
Did you start with the drums or start with something else?
I totally started with guitar, and then there's just not enough drummers, and it's one of those knacks that like people, it's vigorous, and not very many people do get into it as much, because it's one of those things that you suck at it for a long time and you don't get good until like, you know, maybe 5 years into it.
Yeah.
So like people quit like from drumming. So the drumming is not
athletic pursuit. Yeah, it's like being a sports, you know, you have to refine certain specific muscle moves.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah. And
endurance.
Like lots of people, like even me, I got frustrated and would give up, and like, you know, and but like it's like one of those things that once you get it, it's just so much fun. And yeah. It's a good way to burn energy, and just, yeah, it's just awesome.
Yeah.
Really excited to see what happens tonight. Usually on the show, we usually ask a few different questions, and now that you guys, you know, with the music portion of everything, I have to ask, and I'm going to look your way, Casey.
Mm-hmm.
First album ever owned?
The first album I ever owned was INXS Kick, actually. That's a tough one. Although there are some great songs on that.
Absolutely.
There's some really good songs on
that
album.
The first four are pretty solid. Yeah. Yeah. It was one of those albums that was like great for the first half. And then,
although the last song I think was one I always skip to, I even forget what it is, but then I sort of, after that, I got into U2, and then it was No Means No and Jane's Addiction, and
yeah,
sort of heavier stuff.
And obviously, would you say that any of those have influenced your music today?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, U2 is pretty cliched, but I definitely grew up learning to play guitar the way The Edge played guitar. And I came across, I remember there was a guitar magazine where it showed they used a delay pedal. I didn't even know what a delay pedal was. And then I got a delay pedal, and all of a sudden I could play like all of those songs exactly like The Edge. And I was like, that sort of started. Although I think, you know, that's more technical playing. My music has gone more sort of rootsy, I guess,
yeah,
since
then. Yeah,
it's
pretty rhythmic now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, but those rhythms definitely come because you, when you play with the delay pedal, you sort of develop a metronome-ish, like a very metered rhythm, because you have to play in time with the delay so that the effect works.
But absolutely.
Slapback. But
yourself, Bobby.
I had three cassettes, and they were like really quite different. One was Crisscross.
Nice.
And so it was nice. Pretty off the hook.
Yeah.
And then I had Brian Adams' Cuts Like a Knife.
They, oh, okay.
That's
so
solid.
Like, yeah,
absolutely.
It was a solid.
I stole that from my
there.
Older brother.
Yeah, yeah. Right? And I actually had Aerosmith Get a Grip.
Oh.
And that was it for me. That one was just awesome. Like and yeah, so
still
Aerosmith
only listen to those three
was yeah, yeah, and I still only
recycle. Absolutely.
So Aerosmith was the big kick for me. I thought like Joe Perry and Steven Tyler were just fucking awesome.
Absolutely.
So it was just,
that's awesome. Still to this day they still hold up.
They are awesome.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. Just like the Tragically Hip. Anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
It's funny that you say that too as well, because when we did the last show, we were talking about our first albums, and mine would have been Big Ones. So kind of, it's funny that you say Get a Grip and then the Big Ones and
kind of
go from there. Now, gentlemen, is there a number one song that you go to in your life? Just one song that you listen to, you can listen to on repeat. It could be whatever it might be. And it can be your own song too as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an inflated ego. That's fine.
No.
Because I would.
I don't know. I think Guided by Voices is my all-time favorite band. And Glad Girls is a good song.
Okay.
That
yeah,
I can always listen to.
My music always changes with what I listen to depending on my mood. So, like, I always listen to different music, but I'm a little more into, like, hard rock right now and, like, some heavier driven stuff. But yeah, other than that, I mean, I'm into
percussion.
Give us
a song.
Right?
Give us a song.
I don't know. There's a lot
song.
Of music.
Song.
I would have to say James Blunt, You're Beautiful.
Wonderful pick.
No, that's true. I like that song. I like that song when I first heard it. I cannot listen to it now, but when I first heard it, I was like, this is a great song.
Apparently, like, apologized for that song recently.
I don't know.
Just
don't,
in the sense of, like, I'm
like,
sorry, it just happened.
But it's, I mean, it's just a song, right? Yeah. He wrote a song. I mean, somehow it became...
the biggest thing in the world at the time.
But yeah, it started off, like, really important and then became incredibly insipid somehow. I don't even know how that happens. Like, how does that happen? I liked that song. And now I can't listen to that song. So it's really weird.
I find that it comes down to the radio. Because the radio beats songs to death.
They do beat songs
totally.
To death.
Listening to to the top 40 or whatever it might be. And I'm one of those people that every 6 months I will download the top 40 just to kind of see what's new out there. You know, especially in the UK. Because in the UK, they do things differently.
Yeah,
for example, a month ago, one of their third hit on the top 40 was a Spice Girls song. So they're constantly recycling old stuff within their top 40. So it's just...
Yeah, well, what's interesting is, like, the number one song in the UK is Killing in the Name of by Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
It's the number one single. Like, it, still. So it's like, you know, people are still, like... Music is still not quite dead. I like to think maybe it has cancer, and it's like, you know...
And it's nice that music like that can hold up to the
it still surviving is what's unique, and I think like it's people like us here today that keep it going, right?
Absolutely.
So it's kind of up to us to
keep the music alive.
Oh, none
keep
of that.
It alive.
Yeah, all alive. Now, just to go back to tonight. Now tonight, people can they download the two songs already?
Yeah, it's ready to go right now.
Ready to go with.
I hope. Raj is a web developer. That's our other guitarist.
Okay.
And he's a good web developer, and he has a lot going on. He's
he's
children. He owns a Boston Pizza. There's a lot going on for Raj, and I know that he was going to put the songs in there. Actually, maybe I should call him right now.
Just to make sure.
But yeah, you can give it out, because if it's not working now, it will be working.
It will be working. Yeah. And there'll be a link on reaperproductions.ca, but you can go to goldrivermusic.com/singles. Get Kings and Princesses and Battle Lines.
Do it.
I haven't
do it.
Do it. You better do it now.
Do
what
it.
He says.
Just do it.
Yeah, the new versions are just, it's fantastic. The guy we worked with, it was great. And,
Scott Young.
Yeah,
Alchemy Sound. Thanks, Scott. He's listening. He might be. I'm texting him now, so he definitely. It's impossible that he heard that. This podcast is slightly, I guess we knew about it yesterday.
Yeah.
Before.
Well, but yesterday, the day before. I know, a little short notice when it comes to these sort of things, but you know what? It's one of those things where you can download, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, everybody talks, and you can live with it forever.
And it's not the last one, it's just the first one.
This
we could come back.
This
absolutely.
Is true.
Yeah,
we could be
absolutely.
On here again.
Get an unplugged set going on, that would be something too as well.
Yeah.
And I noticed that there is an instrument in the room, we will be touching on that a little
yes.
bit later, getting into that for special treat for everybody who's listening.
Yeah.
Do you have any other songs that are going to be coming down the road? More
yeah well I mean we're recording with Scott and we're gonna do an album.
Okay.
I mean we have like five others that we have the rough tracks to, so that's sort of bass and drums, and then there's like all the overdubs of guitars and vocals if necessary. Sometimes the first pass is good enough, but not usually. I don't know, generally we do it
do about three
or add
takes
stuff.
And then there's some add-ins. And see, the cool thing about now with the technology that we were born into is like singles are kind of becoming more popular than like a whole album, right? Like you know, there's lots of musicians who are raking it in literally by
just
selling this
now.
Just by selling a single.
Absolutely.
Which is totally what we want to do.
Yeah,
so
we just want to rake it in.
Wow. That's basically what we're about.
That's the
raking.
Goal, is it not? No.
Trying to rake or
rake.
You guys mentioned
you know,
earlier that you're
calm.
Possibly considering putting out this single as vinyl.
Yeah.
Is that, have you done that before, and is this something
no.
that you always kind of like, is it going to be like that moment where you really feel
record?
More, yeah, like
first,
yeah, your
yeah.
own
record.
Like your own
definitely.
Physical copy and you know, having a CD is one thing, but I think having a record, like
better.
A 7-inch or whatever it is, just means more.
Yeah,
well,
and they last a way longer, right? Like,
yeah.
You know?
And having a do people listen to CDs still? Like, do people sell CDs? Like, is it a CD? Is that what's going out now? Like,
they're extremely cheap. I was in HMV and like they're just blowing them out. Like, they're pretty much almost giving them away
for like $5.
Two for $10.
Yeah,
like that.
Like,
absolutely.
They're pretty much just promoting. Yeah.
But vinyl has totally held its value.
Well, it's coming back actually.
It's
like, really,
the third year in a row that it's increased, and I think it was something that I saw us passing. I might be wrong on the number, but I think it was something like 18% increase from last year.
Yeah,
well,
I think
sales.
Didn't like Bose
and
like
Urban
build
Outfitters
build they
the
just reissued a new
that allows you to be able to do USB within your computer and still put sound docs and everything else on there
too,
as well.
Yeah, so it's
iPhone.
Like an all-in-one. Yeah, I was just recently at a friend's house who got one, and it was amazing. Wow. Vinyl, MP3, everything, all in one.
Oh, yeah. No.
London Drugs sells vinyls more than they have.
That's actually
vinyl.
True.
They sell
they
records?
Yeah.
That's
they
good.
They have a, like, they're all 120 gram, like, thick vinyl, re-releases of everything, mostly. But, you know, they've got the Beatles stereos and monos down there. They've got the, they had the new Jack White that came out with that, you know, lift up the sticker and there's a secret song under the sticker.
Yeah.
The engravings around the outside.
That's awesome.
And it's interesting to see that people are going back to that and finding that this sounds better, more, it's more complete.
Well, it does sound better.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question
that
it sounds better.
The warmth that comes from that is just, they have never recreated that yet.
Neil Young, I think, is the biggest champion of sound quality.
He's got that new...
Well, he hates the MP3. I mean, it's a terrible format. It's very lossy. I mean, and we're all used to listening to it, but, I mean, there's just, vinyl is so much better. I did not collect vinyl as a kid. Hmm. I had a record player. We had a record... Actually, maybe that's not true. Oh, actually, the first vinyl record I ever had was a punk band from Amsterdam called The X. And that's actually a good story because, like, I am a skateboarder and was a skateboarder. We'd always go to Kelowna on
Pretty gnarly skateboarder. This guy blew me away. Like, I was like, wow, man, for how big he is, like, just mauling the deck.
Skate and punk rock missions. Anyway, so it was, like, No Means No and The X at this bowling alley in Kelowna. And we went to the skate park, obviously, during the day and shredded all day. And The X came on, and they looked like a bunch of, like, college students. They all had, like, button-down shirts and short hair, and it was, like, a pretty punk rock skate crowd. And everyone was, like, jeering. The X comes on, and then they just started unleashing this torrent of incredible sound. The woman goes up to the mic with a cowbell, and she starts pounding out this rhythm. The guy's, like, on the guitar, and he's, like, playing, like, with a long screwdriver, and he's, like rubbing a serrated knife along the screwdriver to vibrate the strings as he slides it up and down the neck of the guitar.
Just no industrial
like,
noise.
The crowd went, like, from, like, they like from being, and then they went totally silent, and then they started to bounce. And then I was, like, I was actually concerned that these guys are going to be better than No Means No, because I'd never seen No Means No live before. And then No Means No blew them away. So, obviously, very good show.
What about yourself?
Me? Fleetwood Mac.
Ooh.
Yeah. I got that. And I had, actually, I had this, my grandpa gave me his old, all his old vinyl. And, like, so I had, like, this train noises. So I would, like, totally throw on these, like, weird, crazy train noises and, like, just, like, I don't know, mutate them and make them all weird and, like... And it's just, it was some of the most fun I had when I was a kid, like, just messing around with the vinyl, and I was always attracted to it, like, keyboards and everything, like, I was always like, what is this? Like, just, like, always fascinated with
funny
it.
Funny that you say train noises. I found a record of bells. Just, like, you know, like, this bell band just standing there with just, like, you know, like, just giant, like, mallets. And they're, like, playing God Save the Queen and all that stuff. And I asked my dad about it. I was like, what the hell is this? And he's like, I don't know.
Bell music.
It was just there. It's just with, like, 10 songs on it. And I'm like, but it's a 7-inch.
Now, with new music coming out today and the different sounds that are out there, I don't know if you guys have been following along, but what is your take on the new type of genre or the new type of sound that is being pumped out into the radios today?
Well... there's radio. I mean, there's lots of amazing new music going on right now. It's I don't know, like Jack White, mentioned him, like he is probably leading the way, or he's like the most revered musical artist, and he continues to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But the you know, there's the like Bon Iver is great, or Bon Iver, like I don't think anyone really knows how to say it. I've heard him say it different ways.
Yeah.
But or I don't know, Band of Horses is another good band that I like a lot. The Float, the OCs from Orange County.
Yeah.
Floating Coffins is an incredible album. Those OCs have come to the Rickshaw. They didn't come this year, but they came the previous 2 years, and I saw them both times, and I was just, like, amazed.
Yeah, I still haven't been able to grow into new music. I have, like, I'm eclectic, right? Like, I liked what I liked and then was never able to, like, grow. But, like, I always like music that is kind of not in the mainstream, really. Mm. So if it's not on the radio, then I probably like it.
That is the best answer anybody could have ever heard. Absolutely. And you know what? I actually personally haven't turned on the radio in quite some time, just downloading or purchasing through iTunes. Yes, there was quotations on that one. You know, just to the different sound that's out there. But you're right. I am. A lot of us are stuck in our ways for a lot of the music that we grew up with and still listen to this day. Our go-tos.
Mm.
So yeah. I can respect that. I can respect my parents now and, like, I guess my grandparents for listening to, like, Engelbert Humperdinck or whatever. Then,
and not, you know? Not getting the Beatles. The Beatles suck. I don't like the Beatles. I think they're actually pretty good, Grandpa. No, they suck. That's Bob.
So I could totally relate to that now because it is hard to grow into, like, the era of DJ and stuff like that. And but some of it's really great too. But it's,
well, the industry is finding has lost itself and I think is trying to find itself. That's the deal, right? Like with the downloading. Sort of the revenue streams have all been disrupted. There's still money. The money seems concentrated in music in sort of the higher end, and that sort of comes through the radio. There's lots of music happening on the fringes, but, you know, bands basically, the dominant story, if you read, like, Vice magazine, if you read Noisy, the dominant story is a band cannot survive. You know, like, a touring band can't make enough money to support themselves. Music is not going to happen the same way, right? So we have to decide if that's how we want it to be. If we want the top 5% of bands dominating the money and that being the music that's sort of produced, or if we want to have, like, a variety and have, like, different stuff. And that happens from going out to shows and supporting the bands, because at the end of the day, that is how, you know, I mean, we basically do it for fun, you know what I mean? Like, we're, it's like, but you put the time in and you have to sort of, you know, account for it at the end of the day. And that's, like, I'm talking even about the upper levels of, like, you know, bands that are touring and that is their profession, their main profession. You know, like, how do they get supported if it's not through the big companies? And so that's the issue. But it's, like, I think they're sort of finding it. I mean, it seems like merch and touring is the way the bands make money.
Yeah.
And it's, and I think people are donating more for, like, downloads. Like, people are finding ways.
Kind of thing. Yeah,
like, you were saying before, singles, right? Like, selling a $1 song on iTunes. And if you sell a million of them, that's, I guess,
definitely adds up.
You get probably a dime off each one as the musician.
So you end up with
$10 or so if you sell a million.
Checks in the mail.
On the point of, like, fringe musicians, do you think that bands on the East Coast have it a little bit easier for touring?
Has to be. More.
Because, like, on the West Coast, it feels like, you know, I was watching that that Sonic Highways Foo Fighters documentary on HBO the other day when they were doing the Seattle episode. And they were talking about how Seattle was kind of off on its own for such a long time. You know, it was 900 miles from places down in California.
Yeah.
What indie band is going to get in a van, drive up there? You don't know how the promoter's going to promote the show.
Yeah.
You're going to... For five people, is it really worth your time to do that? And I think that, you know, bands on the East Coast, you know, you can jump to Boston, Montreal, Toronto, New York, you know, smaller cities so much faster, and college towns and things.
And you're talking about the United States.
But I just...
I mean,
just,
like,
general,
you can live touring California. I mean, being in Vancouver and Canada, our governments, Canadian government, U.S. government, do tons of stuff to prevent bands from crossing the border. Yeah. Like, we could play in Bellingham... We could play, like, I know that music is much more supported in the States than in Vancouver, for instance, unfortunately, and I hope it changes, and I, you know, like, not to say anything bad about Vancouver, I've lived here a long time, I love it, but we can't go to Bellingham, we can't, if we wanted to tour down to Vancouver, we couldn't, they wouldn't let us bring instruments over the border, they'd impose incredible visa penalties on us, like, it costs a lot of money. And it's the same way, like, there was, we recently just put down that they were going to have it if a band came up from the States. It was like $200 a person or per night.
Oh,
so
yeah, yeah.
You're talking about like a $5,000 hit if you have a big crew every night for some bands. So, but yeah, definitely the East Coast with the concentration of population. But if we could just go down to the States, we would have so many more places to play.
Seattle,
like Bellingham,
Portland.
Seattle,
yeah,
Portland.
Yeah, like they call it a yo-yo tour, and you basically go all the way down to San Francisco and back, and like you hit everything.
But Captain Beefheart in California, like he would just tour California.
It's like all
that's
day
it.
Tend,
yeah,
right?
And it's like that's a living. You can make a living just touring California. I'd love to. It would be so fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For those people that are actually just tuning in right now, here on Everybody Talks, of course, obviously you know, we're here with Gold River, okay? We're live on YouTube. Send your links. I know I completely was reading something. I went, you know what? I'm going to change that a little bit. They got a show tonight, just to, for everybody that's just tuning in. They're going to be at Joe's apartment. You said 8 o'clock this evening?
Well, we're on at 8:30, but get there at 8 because we're only on for half an hour.
Doors will be opening at 7:30. Gentlemen, I love having you guys on the show. This is awesome. Tell us a little bit more about your guys' music so that the audience can get a little more familiar with you.
Well, I play guitar and sing. Casey McDougall, play guitar and sing, write songs. I probably write 2/3 of the songs. But then Raj Brar is so the lead guitar player, although we do swap around. Like we don't really have a true lead and rhythm guitar player. We both do both.
A good blend.
Yeah. So he writes some songs too, and he writes hooks. He'll write a hook, and then I'll write a song to it, or he'll have a chord progression, and I'll write lyrics. And then Bob Lyle, who's here with me today, is our drummer.
Come in and make it all happen.
Beat
put it
the
all
skins.
Together. Glue it.
He's all, yeah, he's also like, he's got a lot of energy too. So, and then James Sanders plays bass. So that's our lineup.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I guess, you know, I write songs, but Raj brings in some songs, and he'll either have lyrics for them and have a part he wants to sing. Me and James both do backup vocals. But, you know, we sort of get out there and...
Yeah. Now, you mentioned, you know, you and Raj just, like, you know, coming up with something together or a hook or whatever. How do you and... I'm sorry, what was the person's name again?
James.
How do you and James then take that? Like, do you guys just come to them and go, hey, we kind of figured this thing out. What do you think? Can you mess around with it?
Yeah, it kind of happens like that, and sometimes it's like more organic, where it's just like they start playing the riff, and I hear what's going on. And there's been a few times where he sends me a recording, and he's got like a drum beat that he's kind of programmed in, and then I kind of just feel off of that drum beat and kind of, you know, make my own drum beat that's similar to it, so he doesn't get like super lost or anything. But and then I get to express myself too, or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, the term is jamming it out.
Yeah.
So what we do is we jam it out.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are absolutely hysterical. I want to be able to take this time and obviously just ask you, is there any way we can get a little song?
Yeah,
you guys?
For sure. I brought a guitar.
Awesome. He's got his guitar here. What we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, is we're going to take a little bit of a break. I'm going to play a song. Okay, we're going to play Poem in the Sky for you guys, and we're going to be back in about 5 minutes.
My car slightly out into
Casey, go ahead and take it away.
Okay. So this is actually releasing two songs tonight, Kings and Princesses and Badlands, and this is Kings and Princesses, but the acoustic version. Unplugged, as they say. Well, everybody around here just has so damn much. Everybody has time to be beautiful. I can say that I definitely have my share. There's just one thing that isn't there. We are a nation of kings and princesses and princes. But where is my queen? Oh Lord, where's my queen? We are a nation of where is my queen? Oh Lord, where's my queen? Well, I've been hanging around in coffee shops, and I've been watching things go by. Have one question to ask you. Why can't you look me in the eye? We are a nation of kings and princesses and princes. But where is my queen? Oh Lord, where's my queen? We are a nation of kings and princesses and princes. We are a nation of kings and princesses and princes. Where is my queen? Oh Lord, where's my queen? We are a nation of kings and princesses and princes. Whoa, where is my queen? Oh Lord, where's my
her?
Absolutely. Just fantastic. Wow.
I like how the little bongo drum really did work for that.
That actually really did work out for that. Shout out to the person that gave the gift to me.
Thank you for the bongo
drum. That was just absolutely phenomenal. You want one more?
Yeah, sure. I'll do another absolutely. One. So this song... This song is actually one of the first songs I wrote in the modern era of my songwriting. And it was actually the song that sort of started me writing lots of songs and thinking that I wanted to start a band again. But we used to do it, and then we sort of stopped doing it. And now Bob and I have been jamming on a certain new way.
Yeah, I just love it.
So I'm going to give it a shot. because it's good acoustic. It's called Hard Questions. Ask myself hard questions, and I'll take myself down roads that only go one way. I set out on these trips with no destination. I've got this heart of mine, and sometimes I give it out far, far too easily. Although at times it's like my life is leaking out, we're still alive. Change a single thing I've done. 'Cause in the darkest night, the light of day is dawning. Through the clouds you see the sun.
Another phenomenal performance. Ladies and gentlemen, the band is Gold River. Check them out tonight. Joe's Apartment. Be there by 8. Doors open at 7:30. They go on at 8:30. 919 Granville Street, Vancouver. It doesn't get any better than that. I appreciate having you guys on the show.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
You can go and download their new singles, Kings and Princesses and Battle Lines, at goldrivermusic.com/singles. We will also have a link on reaperproductions.ca. Follow us on Twitter as well at EverybodyTalksP, where we'll be having all the new information on all the upcoming shows. Also, you can subscribe to us on iTunes and get this episode this Monday so you can listen to it again over and over and over. Gentlemen, again, I appreciate having you on the show. Hope to have you again here in the future. Anything you want to add before we go?
Yeah, thanks for having us, and thanks to Kevin at Red Nine Productions for getting us this gig at Joe's Apartment, and Dana for letting us open up for them, to Scott at Alchemy for recording
Scott,
us.
Yeah, great guy. Yeah.
And come on out, come to the show,
and love your mother.
Yeah,
doesn't get any better than that, ladies and gentlemen. Tune in next week when we roll the dice on Everybody Talk.
just nice being here with you. Being here with you. It's just nice being here with you.